He gets his chance. I'm pretty keen on this horse, Mass Poeta, race 3, number 1. So race 2, number 7, race 3, number 1. Quaddy number side, just got to go wide in the first two legs with 5, 1, 4 and 3. 6, 7, 2 and 4 in the second leg. And then we'll go 8, 11, 5. And in that last leg, 7, 1, 6. But other than that, good conditions. So, like I said, that cloud is sitting around Mount Warning, but at the moment it doesn't look like we'll get any rain, mate.
And you'll be in the yard with Priscilla?
Yeah, Priscilla's just turned up, Simon. She's really bouncing to go, and she's looking forward to going to Armidale. We're out there on Tuesday, where it'll be about, they're predicting snow, Priscilla said. It'll be about -4, -6, but it'll be a beautiful day to work there in the yard at Armidale.
I better throw the coat in. Good on you, Gaz. It's always good fun catching up with you, and we'll take your thoughts from the yard and those of Priscilla throughout the afternoon.
Good on you. An absolute champion. See you, Simon.
There he is, Gary Cleese. Now, one punter has just placed $10,000 on the Bostonian to win the TAB Stradbroke Handicap next Saturday, and in doing so, has brought the Bostonian into $5 now. So this is pre-barrier draw, pre-final field, but he's $5 over tracking at 8. A quick break, and then Fred Hastings with this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind.
Tabcorp and Sky Sports Radio support OzHarvest. OzHarvest collects quality excess food from commercial outlets and directs to 900 charities around Australia in a bid to eliminate hunger and food waste. Learn more at OzHarvest.org.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Get the Menangle Mail, Tuesday afternoons.
And on this morning's edition of Pacing Rewind, we've got a couple of things to get through. The Jewels program was at Addington Paceway yesterday. Mick Guerin is about to join us. But first of all, Fred Hastings, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. Yeah, it was a big big day, 9 races with 9 Group 1s over there at Addington. And, of course, we're going to be joined today by Mick Guerin to have a bit of a look. Normally, Mick and I catch up around Miracle Mile Carnival time, so this is a bit of a bonus.
Mick's with us now. Mick, good morning to you. And the Jewels was always normally to Cambridge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it goes from Cambridge to Ashburton, gentlemen. Good morning to you and big hi to everybody around New South Wales. But it was between Ashburton, which is about 100 kilometres south of Christchurch. But that changed 2 years ago. They decided to move to the main metropolitan track in the area with some administrative changes. And lucky they did, because being held on the first day of winter, the Jewels are always a chance, much like the Breeders' Crown, of having a cold day. It's never rained on Jewels Day much before, but yesterday it was very wet and very, very cold at Christchurch. Now, Ashburton being a more country track, they would have struggled to deal with the numbers they had at the Jewels and have everybody undercover. Addington being what it is and the track being very good, the day went off without a hitch, which, had it been on the more provincial track, I don't think would have happened.
Mick, g'day to you. The burning question, the question straight off the top, I have to ask, have you thawed out?
I was inside yesterday in our studio, right. So I was quite warm, but yeah, when you went outside, it was genuinely cold, and it probably didn't help the Australians, of course, more humid. The ones who are here from New South Wales, they look to be having a good time because they love good horses, but there was a genuine feeling that, you know, this isn't our cup of tea. And the horses sort of performed that way too. Probably most of the horses who came across weren't absolute superstars, and I respect the fact they want to come across. I love a bit of competition. I've done the same thing myself. I've sent horses to Australia before Winfrey. I probably thought they couldn't win. The horse who disappointed was Major Occasion. The Frisbee's very good mare. She started in the first race of the day, got trapped 3 wide, but I spoke to Anthony Frisbee afterwards. He said, look, she just didn't put in. She just didn't have one of those days at the office like some horses have. It was wet. She's 3 wide. She underperformed by a long, long way. And that was to be the story of the day. 6 Australian horses lined up. None of them have much luck, but none of them really look like a winning factor either. And they were pretty much reflecting that in the market, Major Occasion being the only one who was given a chance. But even if she had raced up to her best form, that race was won by a very good open-class mare at Ellie Mac. So not a great day at the office for the Australians, but most of those I spoke to said, look, we would love to come back. I think it's only fueled their fire to win a duels.
Well, the Trentons, of course, went there last year with Pete's Big Jim, and he finished a narrow second in the two-year-old, and they experienced again this year, and they always seem to have a nice horse that's duels suitable. But what about, we talk about this every carnival, every major carnival, the impact of Mark Purden. Five of the nine races yesterday went within an eyelash of winning a sixth with Princess Tiffany. She was beaten a nose by Barry's horse, Bell of Montana. But since 2014, incredible stat that they've, since they partnered up, Natalie and Mark, 28 duels. That's incredible.
It is. It's amazing. And they obviously have, you know, a lot of good firepower in the barn, but they were buying, you know, many more horses at the yearling sales. Like other trainers, they got 16 horses at the yearling sales this year. They're just getting the right horses. Yes, they buy a lot at the top end of the market, but some of the horses who won yesterday, One Change, for example, the unbeaten two-year-old, he was a $20,000 buyback at the yearling sales, and then they got their owners to take a chance on him at $30,000. So some of these horses aren't costing a lot of money. It's not the sort of situation where they're always getting the cream of the crop. Maybe they're just the cream of the crop.
I think someone once said to me, Mark goes to the yearling sales, he'll ask to have a look at a horse, he'll look at that horse, and then he'll either be interested or not, just by total visual, watch it walk. He really is in a superior league of his own, isn't he, as far as his horsemanship skills, his eye for a good horse. He would have to rank in any code as one of the great horsemen anywhere in the world.
Well, I've been lucky enough to spend times at the stables with some of the best horses in the world. Last year, I went to the Arc de Triomphe, and I spent time with Jimmy Tactor in New Jersey. And I've been to, obviously, you know, I know people like Chris Waller pretty well. And yes, I've got nothing but respect for those people, but I've seen nothing to suggest any of them are any better than Mark Purden. I'm not saying he's better than them.
Sure.
Because that's a ridiculous call to make. And someone like Chris has so many horses on the books and is in a far more competitive field. But I have no doubts, and I've spoken to people like Terry Henderson from OTI Thoroughbreds, who's had horses with some of the best trainers in the world, like Andre Favre. And he said Mark Purden's as good a horseman as he's dealt with. So that's a man who knows a lot more than I do. And from all the travelling I've done and going to big stables, I haven't seen a trainer who I would say, OK, he's just better. So, yeah, I think Mark deserves to be ranked as one of the better horsemen in the world. Admittedly, he's in a very small pool, but the top level of harness racing in Australasia is pretty professional these days. And he is your owner.
What was your highlight? For me, I was very impressed with One Change again. Unbeaten two-year-old, as you said, and Mark Quinella, the race, with Flying Even Better. It was a good race. It was a bit of an eye-catcher on a day where, you know, it came from a fair way off them and deep, but so there was a bit to like. So, that just emphasises, what's their three-year-old season going to be like, these good two-year-olds that he's got?
Well, that was about their best two-year-old for the season too, and Smooth Deal, who trained off and got a bit crooks, so they had to bounce him out of the race. My highlight of the day was Tony Hurley training two Group 1 winners in the day. I don't think Tony would have trained two Group 1 winners before.
Yeah,
but he's obviously a great driver. He's now on 3,499 domestic wins in New Zealand, and no one's ever driven or ridden, jockey or driven 3,500. So, yeah, we know he's the great as a driver, but as a trainer, to be able to train two Group 1 winners on a day, both of them coming in trotting races, Bolt for Brilliance and Tickle Me Pink, who will be coming across to the Victoria Derby and the Breeders' Crown. That just, it's sort of the icing on the cake for his career, because some people see the training as a side hobby to him for the driving. Well, he's a very, very good trainer, and he proved it yesterday by taking out two duels.
And Turn It Up, what did you make of Turn It Up's performance?
I thought he looked, Fred, like a horse who was at the end of a campaign. They wanted to get the win, not do anything dramatic and get it over and done with. And that was what it was like. It was like some of those footballers you see who, last game of the season, the body's almost done and they're ready for a break. He's ready for a break. Whether he's better or not than Spankin, whether he deserves to be a favourite for an Inter-Dominion over a horse like Tiger Tara, that's up for debate. But he's a very, very good horse, and he's probably got more improvement than those horses, because he was only having start 15 yesterday, and he hasn't raced at the highest level like them very often. So he's the horse who could come back next season and win the whole lot. Mm. But in saying that, he's by Courage Under Fire. It's not a bad thing. Courage Under Fire is a good stallion. But if his competitor's Delight, you'd be more smacking your lips and going, wow, look out for this, because so many of the great ones and the ones who go on with a prep are by Better's Delight.
And just on quickly on Princess Tiffany's performance.
I thought she was beaten by Speed Horse. Bella Montana's very, very good at that one thing. Take a trail, snipe the lane,
ping home. Yeah.
Jack Butcher drove it absolutely perfectly. The big question is now going to be Bella Montana or Princess Tiffany. Which one will head to the Breeders' Crown? I don't think both will go. I think Mark and Barry might even have a conversation and say, look, on their best day home, you can pop away. Mm-hmm. So one of them will go to the Breeders' Crown, one of them will win the Breeders' Crown. I was not sure which one.
Okay, well, there's a tip nice and early, folks. One of, if you see Princess Tiffany or Bella Montana, declared it. They'll win it. Any other highlights? Any other disappointments? Any other news out of the day? I know a lot of the Purden horses may well head to the spelling paddock after their performances, yesterday being their grand final.
I thought Sunday's son was very good in the trot. I think he'll win the New Zealand Trotter of the Year because he's won three Group 1s in the last 5 weeks. And the trotting races are showing a point of difference. Obviously, the All-Stars won 5 of the 6 pacing races. But Sunday's son's probably on the new cutting edge of this bunch of four-year-olds who have the potential to come out and be the best trotters next season, along with Majestic Man and Winterfell and those horses. So, not much to look at him. He's not the good-looking, big, robust horse, but Robert Dunn's done a super job with him. And he'll now be voted, I'm sure, the New Zealand Trotter of the Year, Fred.
Good on you, Mick. Well, thanks for your time. It was good to catch up with you. As I said, it's something we normally do earlier in the year, but nice to talk about it.
Anytime, Freddie, you'll never chat, brother. You just give me a call.
Hey, good on you, Mick. There he is, Simon Mick Guerin. He's well known to our Australian harness fans through his work when he comes over for our big carnivals and, of course, the big carnivals over there. And sometimes what he doesn't know isn't worth knowing.
Mick
never forgets anything. He knows his stuff.
And his coverage of the Inter-Dominion on Channel 7 with Adam Hamilton and Hamish McLaughlin was first class.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy and he knows his stuff. Simon, we better just have a quick look. There's time's on the hoof, but some of the highlights last night. Icy Diamonds won the mare's race last night at Menangle. She got in by a head from Rocking. First two horses, terrific performances. Rocking breezed all the way. Icy Diamonds showed brilliant speed early and was too good. The feature race was the J.D. Watts Memorial, and we might well have a listen to the replay. It was quite an exciting finish.
The leader is replaced by third split. It was 27-9. Joe Star of Mia, Let It Ride, Island Special Major. They all make their moves and try to work to the outside now to get home. Right down the outer is Maxi Man. Joe Star of Mia went to the lead. Up on the inside trying to get home now was Afronte. Coming at this leader was Island Special Major. Let's spend a night together. Cash and Flow getting a late split, charging home. Cash and Flow over the top. Got up, I reckon, on the line. Cash and Flow a nose to Let's Spend a Night Together. Third's a camera. Maxi Man off the track. Or Island
Special. So the concluding stages there, Freddie, of the Group 3 last night, which was the Cabra Vale Diggers J.D. Watts Memorial. And Luke McCarthy driving Cash and Flow, defeated Let's Spend It Together and Maxi Man.
Yeah, it was a great finish. They were stretched right across the track, and I mean inside to out, and Cash and Flow was near enough to last. They did go pretty quick early, and it did suit horses back in the field, but it was Luke McCarthy weaving a passage, proving why he's certainly one of the best in the business, Cash and Flow. And as we bow out today, I have to make mention of the training performance of Joe and Mary Rando. Joe and Mary became the first licensed partnership, training partnership in New South Wales going back a few years ago. They predominantly race a team and train a team of trotters. They do have some pacers in the barn, but their main go are the square trotters. And last night in a field of 9, they produced 4 runners. And they got the first 4 past the post. It was a terrific effort. Romper's Monarchy beat Sunset Tour, Amanda's Spur, and Ko-Fi Monarch. So if you had a dollar on the full unit, $24 on the boxed first 4, the Rando first 4 sign paid $1,498.50, a tick under $1,500, a pretty handy outcome.
Maybe Amanda got it.
Well, I reckon Amanda did, and I think it's her shout. No, look, they were very happy. Mary, Amanda, they were all there last night. Joe, terrific performance because, you know, we all know trotters can do things wrong. Their trotters are generally pretty foolproof. They're obviously well-trained, and they love the Menangle track. And, yeah, to get the first four, I thought, was a terrific effort. And as I said, they were the first training partnership ever licensed in New South Wales, husband and wife team. Of course, now we've got a few. Shane and Lauren Tritton spring to mind. But well done to them, the Randos. They were celebrating, I'm sure, well into the night.
Good on you, Freddie. Well, we better wrap it up there. I noticed it was tough conditions for you at Penrith on Thursday with that sun blinding you over that last race.
It was the second last race, actually, Simon, and quite incredibly. Look, I've heard the boys, Darren, and going back even to Ian Craig, talking about the sun when they're calling the last at Hawkesbury, and they're running down the side near the 600 metres and the sun blinds them, and I thought, up high, I thought you might have been okay. Well, I experienced it on Thursday, mate. It was horrendous. And there's nothing worse, that panic you feel when you rely on your visual to be able to do your job, and all you see is just sun flare. You can't see the horses for probably a period of about 150 metres, and it's just so disconcerting. But and you couldn't rely on the telly because the cameraman's next door to me, looking in the same view I've got. So look, it's a bit of fun, but we got through it. And Brooklyn's Best won that race for Lauren Tritton. She had a good day at the office, and Brooklyn's Best was able to win in the Sun Stakes.
Yes, good on you, Freddie. Right out there. Well, we are out of time, but thanks for your help as always. Enjoy your week ahead, and we'll chat again next Sunday. We'll
catch up soon, Simon.
Fred Hastings there. It's 14 minutes to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Righto, now at this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind, Dave Carlson steps in. Dave, good morning.
Good morning to you, Simon. What a weekend it's been. I just love the dogs, and there's been some great racing, like Albion Park and on Thursday night, the New South Wales Chasers did so well. Then we had Richmond, and we've had Wentworth Park Bull Eye, and that's just the start of it. And some of the greyhounds who are lining up for the Blues and the Greyhound State of Origin Series next Thursday night at Albion Park in Brisbane, they had their final hit out, so I'll talk about that pretty soon.
There was another greyhound adoption day yesterday, Dave, and you had the chief executive of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Mr. Tony Mestrov, on the line.
Yes, indeed. Tony is with us. Tony, good morning. You and your team braved a very chilly day in Bathurst yesterday for yet another greyhound adoption day, and it was fantastic to see more dogs find new and forever homes.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. It was a great day. Yes, it was actually sunny in Bathurst yesterday. A really good turnout. We had 21 dogs on offer. We adopted out 7 dogs. It's a little lower than usual. I think the country areas and the regional areas are just getting used to the program. We've had a brilliant 2 months. I mean, including Wentworth Park, Maitland and Bathurst, we've adopted out over 60 dogs. So it's been a great few months.
Yeah, and a big well done to everyone at Greyhounds as Pets, Greyhound Racing New South Wales, of course, and all the volunteers. As you mentioned, a very successful last couple of months. And Tony, no doubt more to come between now and the end of the year.
We have. We've got a huge announcement coming up on 30th of June. We've got an international Australian sports star that will be our GAP ambassador. We've got our next adoption day for those dogs that were adopted out yesterday in Bathurst. We've got a big adoption day in Rose Bay. All those details will pass through in the next 2 weeks. But really looking forward to a good end to the financial year. And we're really going to restructure the GAP program. We're a fundraising organisation with charity status and can't wait to raise more money and more funds to pour back into the program this year.
Yeah, well, Tony, the adoption days, they're not only excellent to raise public awareness of what great pets and companions these wonderful creatures are, they're also an example of Greyhound Racing New South Wales' commitment to greyhound welfare.
Yeah, welfare is at the forefront of everything we're doing, Dave, and we've all learned from the mistakes of a number of years ago, and we need to rehome all our racing dogs, and that's a given. So the Greyhounds Pets program is our main rehoming program. As I said, you'll see some definitive changes. We're really regionalising the program, giving the country people now an opportunity to adopt our pets. So exciting year ahead, and as I said, a big announcement coming up at the end of June.
And I look forward to it, Tony. Incidentally, folks, next Sunday at Jamison Park on the northern beaches in Sydney at Narrabeen from 8:30 in the morning, the Great Global Greyhound Walk takes place to again raise awareness of the breed and just how fantastic it is. You can get more details, go to gapnsw.com.au, click on news, Narrabeen, 8:30, Jamison Park next Sunday. Now, Tony, you're a former NRL first grade player, and I'm sure you'll be watching Wednesday night's opening State of Origin match. The following night at Albion Park in Brisbane, Thursday night, it's the Greyhound State of Origin series with a sprint, a staying event and a match race. And the Blues have a very strong lineup.
We have. I'm pretty excited too. I'll be going there on Thursday night. We've got a really strong lineup. Obviously, Zipping Bailey, the winner of the Golden Easter Egg. Also, the winner of the Million Dollar Chase, Mystic Grier, Jameela Jett. Poco Dorado, I mean, I dare say it's the strongest side we've put together. Looking forward to going to Queensland to get that State of Origin title back. Really interested in Ferrell Frankie. I mean, I was down in Bandown when, they beat Midnight Dare. So really excited about that matchup in the match racing. So it should be a great night on Thursday night in Queensland.
Yeah, absolutely. In the sprint team, Zipping Bailey, Mystic Ride, Jameela Jett, Good Odds Harada, our reserve, Paws of Thunder Champ, Bucks Future. The staying team, the siblings, Poco Dorado, Blue Moon Rising, Veloce Nero, along with Little Digger, the reserve, is two times twice. And the match race here, yeah, it's Ferrell Frankie. The reserve is Fernando Blaster. So, Tony, come on the Blues. Congratulations again to you and everyone on another Greyhound Adoption Day yesterday. And I look forward to that announcement on June 30. And thanks for taking time out of your Sunday morning.
Thanks, Dave. Also, we've got a big announcement coming up at the end of the month on prize money as well. So we'll see a significant increase in prize money to add to the sustainability of the future of greyhound racing. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much. Tony Mestrob, the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Simon?
And that Origin series that's coming up, well, New South Wales are very strongly represented there, Dave. Hopefully they can defeat the Maroons.
Well, absolutely. Well, they've all trialled well and they've raced really well. Ferrell Frankie trialled in a sizzling 29-57 at Albion Park last Thursday night. And I tell you what, Ray Smith had a big night with Little Digger winning a staying event there in 42-31. Jameela Jett also trialled brilliantly. And Zipping Bailey's going to trial this evening. Jason McKay just wanted to give her a few extra days because she took a tumble at Sandown. She was okay, but he just wanted to give her a couple extra days. So really looking forward to hearing how that trial goes tonight. Special mention must go to the Charmaine Roberts train, Don't Mind Me. He's not in the Blues team, but ran the sixth fastest time ever for the 520 metres at Albion Park on Thursday night in a flying 29-56. As for the stayers, Poco Dorado won over the 717 at Richmond on Friday night in 41-73. Veloce Nero was second in 42-22. Blue Moon Rising fourth in 42-27. While two times twice won over the 520 metres at Wentworth Park last night. And so the John and Minnie Finn train siblings are all on fire. So really, really looking forward to it. Go the Blues, New South Wales!
Righto, Dave, we had a meeting at Bulleye yesterday. The first was just before 5 o'clock, so it kicked off in the twilight. But you spotted a smart young pup there on that card.
Yeah, first starter. Gee, it's only a couple of years old, and it flew. I watched it because I actually backed Andy Lord's dog, the Dutchie dog, which ran second. But I saw the winner explode out of box number six and run 6:42 to the first mark. I'm talking about a runner from the Ray Holt kennel, Sweet City Woman. Sweet City Woman, she won on debut last night in 22-57. That is a fantastic time for a maiden. And the young dog, or the young bitch, she's by Barsha Bale out of My Lady Day. So the first starter, won by six lengths. A big future is assured for Sweet City Woman to Ray Holt and Connections. All the best. Congratulations, too, to Western Districts trainer Peter Carr, who trained a winning double at Wentworth Park last night with the Litter Brothers, Jimmy Casey and Charlie Casey. And Jeff Collison has a little story on that, along with the other proceedings from last night's meeting at Wentworth Park. On the website you need to go to if you need to know anything about New South Wales greyhound racing, thedogs.com.au, Simon.
Righto, Dave. Now, you've got an update for us on nomination times for meetings coming up in New South Wales over this next week.
Yeah, just go to the dog's website once again, Simon. Because of the long weekend coming up next weekend, some of the nomination times have changed. There'll be nominations closing on Friday morning. And then, of course, for next week's racing, you need to just check it. So all the details are on thedogs.com.au.
And you've got some tips for tonight's meeting at Gunnedah.
Yeah, wish the Gunnedah Club all the best. It's a big meeting. It's one of the big meetings of the year. The heats of the Chief Havoc Cup. Chief Havoc, of course, a champion greyhound from the area in the past. Now, the best bet is the second heat of the Chief Havoc, race 7, number 8, Modus Operandi. Race 7, number 8. The value bet is in the first heat of the Chief Havoc. That's race 6, number 3, Gunnedah Power. Race 6, number 3. And racing commences at Gunnedah, Simon, at 2 minutes past 5 this afternoon.
So the Dragons have had the bye this weekend.
Yeah, hey, happy days. I didn't have to, field texts from certain staff members at Sky Sports Radio, not mentioning any names, Freddie Hastings, etc. But look, next Monday or Monday week, we'll be playing the Bulldogs, and after smashing them 40-4 at Cogra recently, I think it's time we put the Dogs to the test once again.
Yeah, well, hopefully they get over Canterbury, that's for sure. But Origin on Wednesday night, Dave, you love this time of year, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely love it. I was a young kid. I went to the very first Origin. I happened to be in Brisbane, and I've been to so many since, and it's just a fantastic time of the year. But I think the Blues are pretty good. I was having an argument with a mate in a pub the other day who says, oh, Queensland will be the secret weapon. I think the Blues are going to win the series 3-0. I think we're a lot stronger on paper.
Well, they're $1.77 against the Maroons at 2.10 with the head-to-head for the first of those matches on Wednesday night. Good on you, Dave. It's always good to catch up with you. And going greyhounds is going well through the week.
It is, Simon. Around about 20 to 11 each morning, Monday to Friday. And I'll be back tomorrow morning once again with Sean Cosgrove.
Righto, Dave. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon.
You too, Simon. Thank you.
It's 4 minutes to 11.
Coringle Stud continues to produce outstanding value for broodmare owners in 2019. Its value for money stallion roster includes proven Group 1 sire Dewport, whose progeny's average earnings of $87,000 per starter is 10 times his service fee. Dewport stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prize Icon and the multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Sky Sports Radio is back on the road this week for Queensland's Day in the Sun.
Santa Ana Lane for the Stradbroke. Santa Ana Lane by 2 lengths.
Catch the Big Sports Breakfast and Racing HQ live from Eagle Farm Friday and Saturday morning. For everything on the prestigious Group 1 Stradbroke, stay with Sky Sports Radio.
It's a cold day in the sun.
Hancock's Bloodstock have a stunning rising 2-year-old colt by Hot Young Sire Done Deal. 8 stakes winners already, including Your Deal, Castle Vecchio, Mr. Inevitable, and Transact, the trainer Joe Pride at Warwick Farm. The dam, 5-time winner Tishon buying Costa del Lago. Second dam, stakes winner Princess Polona. 5% share, $3,800 and $200 a month covers cost. 2.5% shares available. Bob's qualified free replacement offer. For a PDS, call Shelley Hancock's 03-5274-9171 or see the website hancocks.com.au. AFSL 227365.
Hi, I'm Adam Goods. Each year, National Reconciliation Week takes place from May 27th to June 3rd. These dates commemorate the anniversaries of the successful referendum of 1967 and the High Court decision on Mabo. But there's still more to do. This National Reconciliation Week, let's reflect on the relationships Australians and First Australians share. Make your own connections and join local Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities at events across Australia. Get involved at reconciliation.org.au.
Sky Sports Radio will have the best mid-north coast racing this Friday. Taree starts their winter racing season with the Wingham Cup. Get all the winners in the Racing HQ preview Friday morning at 10. Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio with the latest winning info right now on Racing HQ.
Yeah, 1 minute to 11, Michael Dumsley from Harness Racing New South Wales joins us to find a few winners at Wagga Wagga. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon.
They were on the Riverina Paceway this afternoon. The first race comes up at 29 after 12. What have you highlighted for us, Mick?
Yeah, we're going to have to wait until later on in the day, Simon. It's a very good race meeting. But here in race number 7, the first of our best bets comes up in number 10, Seattle Trace. This one comes from the Paul Carlefelt yard. Blake Jones to take the drive. It's been racing very consistently at its past due, placing at its last four runs. It's a winner of three races and gets into this race really, really well. Blake Jones will give it a 10 out of 10, no doubt, from gate number 10. And I think at the $2.60, it looks the first of our best bets. Then across to race number 8, number 5, which is Lightning Scooter. I really like this horse's last few efforts. Comes out of gate number 5 today. The second last time out of Dubbo was really, really good. Strong run was off the